This is Jim Manske.
And Jory Manske.
Welcome to Heart of Conflict 1. This is our fourth class, and I'm looking forward to playing with you all today. We've got some interesting things to cover. I'd like to start with a self-connection exercise, and then we'll do a check-in. We'd like to get some feedback from you. We have a little lesson prepared on some aspects of the mediation process that we want to share with you. We'll go through that, then move into a practice that we think it's new and different and exciting, and I think it'll help everybody to discover something about where you are in your learning of the mediation process. Okay, just get yourself settled and find a way to be as comfortable as you can in order to be able to attend to your inner experience. What I'd like to do is lead you through a self-empathy process that was very fresh for me because I did it yesterday during a mediation. And so what I'd like you to do is just imagine first, put yourself in the position of conflict worker, that you have decided that you want to help two people in conflict and that you have secured their permission to play that role. And so get in touch with what needs you're hoping to meet by playing this role. And then imagine that you have begun the process and that you've explained a little bit about mediation to the parties and they seem ready to go. You seem ready to go. And so you lean in as you prepare to listen. Just notice what comes up in your own body, in your own experience as you lean in with the intention to support two people in conflict. And then notice as you listen to one of the parties who is speaking about their view of the conflict. Just imagine that this thought comes across your mind. Oh my God, I have no idea what to do here. This seems way too complicated. Just let yourself have a little jackal show of confusion and consternation, and as you touch the uncertainty of the moment, just see if you can be present to your own inner process of talking to yourself with an intention to connect more deeply with your own feelings and needs. So as you continue to listen to yourself, notice that you can choose to look deeper under the thoughts, the feelings and needs that are present in you. So take this as an alarm clock. These thoughts are signaling you that something important is going on for you. What are the needs that are alive in you? And as you connect to the needs, imagine that you can breathe into the need, that it magnifies your sense of presence for this universal quality of human experience. And just notice how your body feels as you become more present, more aware, more conscious of what's really important to you right now in the midst of this conflict. And then from this place of enhanced self-connection, even though it may not be perfect, it's better than it was a moment ago. You're more tuned in, centered, and empathic than you were before you began the process. So for wherever you are in it right now, this place of self-connection, consider what requests could I make of myself that could be a contribution towards the needs that I have identified. What would make your life more wonderful right now? And now consider if you have any requests that you would like to make of the parties that you sense could contribute to a sense of connection being built. Now, as this exercise draws to a close, if you would like to pull out your paper and pen and write yourself a couple of notes, that would be great, especially about these requests. Also, as you do that, stay in contact with your body to the best of your ability. Just notice how your body feels right now as we make this transition from the self-connection exercise to an opportunity to check in as we move from pure self-connection to the shared experience of honesty and empathy. And when you're checking in and you're playing the role of the person with your honesty, my request in order to enhance our sense of connection and community is that you be as honest and as vulnerable as you can and just really let us know what's going on in you. And secondly, if you are playing the role of empath here, which most of us will be doing most of the time as we listen to each other, to listen with empathy. Listen with an open heart. To focus on observations, feelings, and needs that you hear from classmates as they check in.
I'm going to invite everybody to check in from the space you're in right now. Anything you would like to share with the group in relationship to this class and your practice of it?
I came out of the last few minutes with a lot of fear, as it has been for me, for mediation, and still trying to work through that and being able to help people through mediation. Looking forward to continuing and learning a lot more.
I was enjoying Jim's exercise, especially the part where Jim invited us to imagine ourselves mediating and then telling ourselves, oh my God, what do I do now? It seems too complicated. Well, that part wasn't very difficult for me to imagine, as it seems to happen quite often. That is the kind of exercise of self-awareness that I believe I will repeat often, because that's what I'm missing, self-connection. I really got in touch with the need that is beyond the panic attack, that is that of wanting to contribute and to be efficient in my mediator's role. So at least that's the first ones that came up to me. Thoroughly enjoyed the exercise. Pretty energized to do the class now.
Thank you.
I noticed during the exercise, the self-connection, that I could really feel the fear that comes up in me when I'm not sure what to do, and that sense of overwhelm. So it's good practice to go into that self-connecting place and notice the desire for ease and competency and clarity, and probably mostly the connection, to keep that connection with myself. And I think what I would do in the past is just push through, do something in those situations and not take that time to come back into myself. I'm aware things are going on, but it's almost like, oh, I can't attend to that. I have to attend to this out here, which, you know, I can see I'm not going to be as present or effective or available or helpful if I'm not connected to myself. And I did have an experience with my daughter after our last class, not a mediation experience, but she was in a lot of pain. And I noticed, because I didn't go to that self-connection place, when I got off the phone, I recognized, well, I was able to give her some empathy, but I recognized that I had an agenda, subtle as it was, an agenda of something I wanted her to see. And I was giving her some the benefit of my wisdom rather than just being able to fully stay in that place of empathy. So I'm also aware that sometimes I have a subtle agenda going on that I'm not even aware of until afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm celebrating the self-awareness that you have had.
I really appreciated the exercise at the beginning. I could sure experience the tightness when I realized that I didn't know what to do next. And it is common. But as we worked through that, and the beauty of it was, I have the needs chart in front of me, and as I started looking at the needs there, there were a number of kind of amazing things like community and mutuality and healing and balance and, you know, some of those kinds of things. self-connection, self-expression. And so once I began connecting with that instead of my fear, that fear went away. And that was pretty powerful. So I ended up the exercise with a real feeling of calm and balance. So that was pretty powerful for me. And I appreciate your sharing that with us, Jim.
Thank you.
Exercise this morning, I could stick with it and ultimately came up with some needs for competence and awareness. But then when it got to the request part, request of myself and then request of others, I found myself going into that mode of, oh no, I don't know what to do. And then it took a little bit of time, but ultimately it brought me back to what we ran into in our practice group, that we ran into what we call the flat spot, where we felt like the mediator was just going back and forth. Oh, so you need me, you have needs for harmony. Oh, yeah, so you have needs for harmony. So, and so we wrestled with that and ultimately decided that a good question would be, is there anything deeper that comes up or any other needs that come up in order to keep it moving forward? And we talked about how when that kind of thing happens, to have awareness of it and honor our request of a timeout for ourselves. So this exercise this morning tied in with what we ran into in our practice group. I'm coming to realize that every time I remember something like that, I believe it's going to add to my awareness, help me get quicker with my competence and my awareness about it, because I did manage to go back and remember.
I love hearing that you came up with a question in your practice group, that you evolved something that you all saw could move the process forward.
Yeah, and my response to that and to all these check-ins, I know there's some more to go, is yay!
And not only that, when we came to that point of realizing that we could ask, I was playing a part of the person who needed to get to a deeper need. When, as we went through the process, I got to that need and I announced it, then the other person said, yeah, that's it. It was a wonderful experience.
I got to experience what we mean when we say connecting to a need. It's not just a thought. It's really an experience.
Yes.
That just, it opens up.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. That's such a key piece of this work and why we would even want to focus on needs. Thank you.
Most of the conflict I deal with at home is with my kids. I find myself looking at things differently and being able to approach it differently and listen differently when I'm looking for the need, finding balance. The only question I have, I'm wondering how mediation is different when there are not just two people, when there's several people in the conflict. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm also really enjoying using this with my children. And I'm feeling hopeful that we're starting to have or trust that everybody will have a chance to be heard. They're 3 and 6, and they're starting to wait a little bit while I listen to one of them at a time, which has been a long time coming. I've been impatient for that period to start. I had a really interesting mediation with them yesterday, where we just kind of hung in feelings for a long, long time before it shifted, and that was nice.
I'm touched listening to you.
I had just one question. Is a desire to have needs heard and understood versus staying and my needs must be met? Is there a distinction between, when needs are heard and valued versus my needs must be satisfied, they must be met?
That's a wonderful question.
Yeah.
I have enjoyed.
Very intriguing. Thank you.
I was thinking about the idea of the gentle warrior, about how powerful that is to stand. It's sort of rooted to the ground when all of this storm is going on up top. And it reminded me of last night sitting with my little guy. He's almost a year, and he was so angry and upset not being able to be with his mom while she was busy, just sitting there and just really getting in touch with his needs of just so wanting to have that level of support that he couldn't in the moment, and being so upset. And as difficult as that was to see him in that pain, how good it felt to just be with him there. I'm looking forward to learning lots today.
I love the image of you just being present with your one-year-old. I'm going to hold that one as an anchor for the kind of presence that we're really talking about today.
I'm really grateful and appreciative of the self-connection exercise, too. really feeling the need to feel rooted. In the past week, in the presence of conflict, I've kind of watched my response, my reactive response, and also watching how my mind, my heart goes to also looking at feelings and needs and trying to translate them into needs during the conflict and being in that presence of mind, and how I fluctuate in those two states. I fluctuate being present to the pain and being reactive to the pain.
Thank you. I really enjoy the image that comes to my mind as I hear your experience of coming into presence, and then it retreats, and then it comes back. That's my experience as well. Thank you.
I'm noticing that my mediation experience is with my family. And my question is around when it's just myself and my husband, and so I'm kind of trying to mediate and be a disputant at the same time. I'm noticing I'm in my mind a lot with trying to follow and track and that sort of stuff, but I also want to have balance with that allowing vulnerability. And just if you have any thoughts around that.
Thank you.
I do have a question.
Oh, great. Go ahead.
I was in conversation with someone who's done a lot of work with people who've been traditionally characterized as being oppressed or victimized or abused. The person I was talking to has worked a lot with honoring that type of terminology, and I was talking about the possibility of coming from a place at looking at the needs of the, as it were, in this case, as she would call them, the oppressor. And I'm wondering about, as I say it, I realize it's a big question, but around mediating in scenarios where there is that power hierarchy and where there is a history of one of the groups having been lacking in the same privileges and also having experienced a lot of pain stimulated by the other groups. And so I'm just wondering if you could address that at some point.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Balancing power is one of our roles, so thank you for bringing that forward. I'd like to just comment a little bit about what came up for me around the self-connection exercise. A piece that I want to be really clear about is the piece about responsibility. Who's responsible in a mediation? And in the mediation, we're taking some responsibility for the process. And it basically goes to breaking down the word responsibility to the ability to respond. We are the third presence that has the capability to respond to supporting people in being heard and being connected to themselves and each other. That's the responsibility that we have that they have not had, because if they did have that ability, they wouldn't end up in front of us. Because once we actually do hear each other and connect to what it's really about, then the conflict transforms into a puzzle for each of us to figure out how we want to contribute to it. That's our responsibility. Their reactions, their experiences, their opinions, their, whatever is going on for them is their responsibility. That's their response, and that is what is alive in them. So it's even more than ability, it's the actuality of their response. Just to be really clear, when those moments come, when we go, God, I just don't know what to do, check within ourselves if we actually have an agenda. Do we have an agenda other than to facilitate communication? Do we think it should be going some other way? And that's a wake-up call to self-connect. And people will tend to want to put some responsibility onto the mediator for us to get clear on what we're willing to be responsible for. And that's a way of dealing with the fear or the anxiety and fall back on the processes that we're learning here that tend to work. I'm complete with that. And I'd like to hear if there are any other questions that came up that you'd like to make sure are addressed in our lesson today.
I read your article about your initial or one of your first mediations, and I thought that the article was extremely helpful. And one of the pieces in that was you talked about sharing some of the vulnerability of the mediator with the client. Could you flesh that out a little bit for us? I think there's a real connection there for me anyway.
I guess what comes up for me is balance around empathy and honesty. In the traditional model of mediation that I learned, mediators were taught to become process managers that were almost like robots in a way, where we were somewhat dehumanized. Our presence to the system wasn't really acknowledged. And in this model of mediation, we see that we're all human and we all have these common universal needs. And sometimes what really helps to support the process of connection is when the mediator expresses their vulnerability. And the one place where it almost always happens, hopefully, is at the very beginning of the mediation where the mediator expresses vulnerably why they're there. But there could be other places in the mediation where it's important for the mediator to express their feelings and needs. One reason for that is because unexpressed feelings are often experienced as aggression by the other parties. And so if we're sitting on something and not expressing what's going on in us, it might actually contribute to railroading the process. And so that's a couple of the ideas that come up for me around being honest and having that balance between honesty and empathy. Does that help?
Yes, that helps a lot. I appreciate that.
Okay. So we've got four questions on the table that we can move relatively quickly through, I think, and then move right into our lesson. Two of the questions are related for me. One is kind of the distinctions around various avenues or venues where you might mediate, one being where there's more than two people and one being where you're one of the disputants. We're kind of combining two questions here. And what comes up for me about that is that I see mediation as an application of the skills and consciousness of nonviolent communication. And that's what we're focusing on this class, which is basically facilitating a conversation between two people. I see that very similar skills are required when there's more than two people, but we call that facilitation once it gets more than about four people. That's kind of the arbitrary line in my head. And for me, there's not very much difference in terms of what I'm doing, but it requires more attention because there's more needs that are present. The system is larger, and the likely impact of any decisions made within the mediation are also larger because it affects more people, because each person that's in the facilitated meeting is connected to 100 people out in their life. So the more people you have involved in the process, the more complex it is.
You can liken it to juggling. If you're just juggling one ball, your own needs, that's one amount of movement. If you add two, and you're juggling two other people's needs, two balls, most of us can rotate those around between our two hands. But when you start to get to three, four, five, six, it just takes a bit more acuity and skill to do that, because it's more likely one of the balls won't go exactly where you'd like it to go.
Yeah. And so there are additional skills involved in facilitation that we don't use in mediation as much, and it just gives me some inspiration that maybe there would be a usefulness to having a class in facilitation as well that we could offer through the NBC Academy. So we'll put that in our back pocket. And then back to the kind of the opposite end of the spectrum, which is I'm one of the disputants, and I'm trying to play two roles, at least have at least two hats on, and I would call that a negotiation. And again, it's the same skill set, although now I'm actually in the position of trying to hold an attitude of equivalence. And by that I mean that everyone's needs have an equal value, but I'm actually advocating for one person's universe, which is my own. So I'm balancing that with my deep need for equivalence and connection with the other person. And so for me, it's equally complex to a facilitation because of all the parts of myself that I'm mediating throughout the process. So it's a great way to practice. It's a steeper path for me. Negotiation is a steeper path than mediation, which is why we are choosing to offer mediation classes right now as a way to integrate NBC. And then the idea is that the skills and the consciousness will be more available when we're involved in the conflict more directly.
Yeah, and that leads me to the other question that was brought forward, is the desire to have needs be heard and understood versus must be met. And when it's our own needs, we have a tendency to be more graspy around them. So refocusing on the desire to have needs be heard and understood takes a bit more muscle. So that's the muscle that we're actually exercising in mediation over and over. I'm guessing that the question really also represents how do we deal with when we're in a mediation and someone is just insisting that their strategy or that it be met. I go to empathy for that, the need for resolution, the need for peace of mind, just to really go with that and acknowledge that, because that too is universal. When we have that sense of dynamic tension, we would like to have that resolved.
My ever-increasing experience is as I do the three different stages of empathy, that if I start by acknowledging and being present with the pain of the other person, and that pain might really be this graspiness or this aversion, a strong aversion that's coming up in the person, just acknowledging that and being present with it. And then after really connecting at that level, to go deeper and connect at the need level. And this helps me to stay clear on the distinction between a need and a strategy. Then I want to loan that skill, the skill of being able to make that distinction between a strategy, which is a way to meet a need, and a need, which is this more universal quality of life moving. The more that I'm able to hold clear on that distinction, the more I'm able to support the parties in holding clear on that distinction. And then through empathy, eventually a space arises when it becomes natural to begin to search for strategies to meet the needs.
There's an interesting way that we associate with the word need, and I'm loving actually what I read from Dominic Barter this very week about the word need. The root of it is related to necessity or necessary, and that in actuality we often get into that have-to energy around necessity and need, and really the root of it is necess, to not stop. And in fact, that's why we talk about universal needs, that they don't stop, that they are omnipresent, and they are universally present in us, how much aliveness or attention we're giving any one of them at any point shift. So to continue to touch into that ever-present energy within ourselves actually builds the resource. It's actually the lack of attention that causes that tension.
And then the final question that I'm seeing here is this notion of the power imbalance when you might be mediating a situation where one of the parties is identified with an oppressed group. For me, the biggest example of that is parent-child, or in a workplace mediation, boss and employee, or owner and employee. And so these are embedded into our culture, and it's rare that they're not present in a mediation. And so the skill that I'm cultivating in myself is the awareness that all needs are equivalent and that all parties have equal value. What we call the need for equivalent. And so I'm cultivating in myself seeing that the oppressor's needs are just as precious and beautiful as the oppressed party's needs are, and that at the universal level they actually have those as something in common. And once a connecting bridge is built at the need level, the labels oppressor and oppressed will eventually dissolve. It may not happen in the first 15 minutes of a mediation, but it will happen once enemy images are given sufficient empathy.
How important this place of balancing power of equivalence is, and the equivalence is around the need and to focus there. My initial training was in what was called victim offender, which is really restorative justice, and that's how I learned mediation in the early 90s. And we'd have often the person who was the victim and the person who was the oppressor in the room, and to level that playing field and to realize that there's perhaps one person who's more in pain than the other, and to be supporting that pain be heard. And the amazing
shift that happens in someone who might be labeled a perpetrator when they really connect with the humanity of the other person. Even how the person who is labeled the victim, how their hearts would open up to want to contribute to the person who was the perpetrator when they also realized how much pain they were in, to support them in their transformation. So I've seen some incredible things happen in this area, and it is an area where it is holding a tremendous amount of intensity and emotion to be aware of that when we move into it, to remember the presence exercise this morning and exercise those muscles yet again to really find the strength to be present to the pain.
Any responses or follow-on questions on any of that?
That actually dovetails nicely into the question that I remembered, which is, what do you do when one person's jackal is just too triggering for the other person to hear, even with the translation into needs? And I'm wondering, you know, like in that circumstance, just hearing somebody else's pain when you yourself are in so much pain with a different position might be too much for not the mediator, but for the other party to witness.
What a delightful segue into our topic.
And I would just also say that I've made a judgment call at some time that it's best not to have them in the same room yet.
That's the strategy that we call a caucus.
Or even ahead of time, I've made that decision when I've talked to people. But basically, to decide that this is not really serving life. Boy, if I will tell you, though, I was in that position not long ago with two people, and I at least had enough connection with them, and I knew they had some training. And so I used a technique that actually surprised me when it came out of my mouth. I turned to one of the disputants and just said, I don't think this is getting the quality of connection you would like, the one with the intense jackal. I'm not necessarily recommending that as always something. Got an email about 2 weeks later, and she said it had totally transformed her. She had just really gotten it. But she was a practitioner of NVC for some time before I did that.
But we have a couple of skills that we would like to share with you today that you can begin to add to your toolbox as you grow in your ability to become conflict managers using nonviolent communication. And what I'm going to be talking about is what we call the bubble of pain. The way we've presented mediation so far has been this kind of regular, orderly progression of party A speaks, party B listens, party B reflects what A said, et cetera, et cetera. It looks like this very clear progression of things. And, of course, real life is much messier than that, as we've even seen in our role plays. And what makes it messy is that life happens. The bubble of pain arises in somebody, and it can express in several different ways. Someone might interrupt the process, even though it's, quote, not their turn. Someone might start crying. Someone might start screaming or yelling. Someone might fold their arms and look down or away. Somebody might just walk out of the room. All kinds of things can happen that are giving us the information that the bubble of pain has shifted from where we thought it was, which was we basically tossed the bubble to the person that we've asked to speak. Now we're present with our empathy to the bubble of pain. And then for whatever reason, it gets to the other party. And so we're working on, I'm training myself anyway, to become aware of the presence of the bubble of pain. So even though, like yesterday in this mediation I did between a father and a son, even though the son was expressing, I was keeping an eye on Dad to see how he was taking what his son was saying. And if I noticed that Dad seemed to disconnect or behave in a way that let me know he was triggered, then I would pause and address that bubble of pain. So that's the first concept to keep in mind as we now move into Jory expressing something else.
So when the bubble of pain is shifting, it can interrupt, if you will, and I don't necessarily see it as an interruption, but it shifts the process that we are leading to make sure that when people speak, they're heard. And one of the reasons we have practiced initially this process of A speaks, B listens, B reflects, then B speaks, A listens, and A reflects, and go back and forth, is really to get that rhythm going.
and to be very clear that the intention is, if someone's opening up their mouth, our job is to facilitate that they're heard. Because then when something else happens, it's our job to track that something was said and we're not clear whether it was heard or not. And at the same time, something else is happening now. So what do we do? What we do is we do something called emergency first aid empathy. So what it looks like is A is speaking and B freaks out. And so we give some empathy to B just enough to go back to listening to A. So it can sound like A speaking, B says, wait, that's not very true. You know, so that's not how you see it. Is that it? Yeah, it's different. Yeah, so you have a different perspective on this. Yes. Thank you. Would you be willing to just listen in this moment so we can finish hearing from her and then we'll come back and listen to you? I'm not sure I can. So maybe there'd be a little bit more empathy. Or yes, I'm willing. We go back, we listen to A, we get whatever A said reflected. Then it's B's turn to speak. The reason we do this is that if B is freaking out, or is upset, is unable to listen in this moment, and we just go there, we're likely to have two people who are now no longer listening. It's unlikely A is listening to B in that moment because A is speaking. And with all the program we have about it's my turn or the upset and images that we have of the other person when we're upset already that they don't listen, it's just unlikely that the first person is present. So we do our best to get the person who interrupted to become present again with the understanding they'll be heard. And then we go back to completing and getting to a need fairly rapidly. We don't need to go all that deep. The level of depth that we go to in each of those processes of listening and then getting a reflection varies based on the amount of listening capacity of the person on the other side. And if we've already given emergency first aid empathy, the likelihood is we're going to want to complete with A as quickly as reasonable and move to listening to B after B reflects. We're going to add this piece in our practice today. So we're going to move into practice, but I'd like to just really quickly hear from people who wants to mediate today.
This is Chris, and I'd love the opportunity.
Great.
This is Joy.
Thank you.
We'll use a co-mediation model today so that everyone will be on call to make an offering. So now we need a dispute. We've got two mediators. We'll start with Joy as the first mediator. So, Joy, you can start giving yourself some empathy.
What he means by that is to really anchor yourself in presence and the clarity of your intention when you're mediating.
And we'll guide you a little bit just before the mediation starts. And Chris will put you on first standby so you can also be preparing yourself. I've got a juicy conflict. It's a pre-Thanksgiving special. The situation is that you, as mediator, have arrived at Thanksgiving dinner, and things are going pretty swimmingly. But one of your family members basically says something about their political candidate who did not fare well in the last election and basically expresses some mourning about how the outcome of the election affected them. Another family member who has the opposite political view basically speaks up. The observation is that they say something about the other party deserving to lose, that they weren't qualified. And this erupts into, you can imagine what it erupts into. That's the observation of the conflict.
This is Anne, and I can play the person mourning the loss.
This is Rod. I can play.
Okay.
Okay.
A little reminder for our disputants that our request really helped us to create the most amount of learning is that you find the edge between your own authenticity
And also keeping precious the need for learning so that the folks who are practicing mediation have an experience of success as they try some of these skills on, maybe for the first time.
And as you're listening, if you're an observer, we may be calling upon you to identify needs at some point if the mediator is not connecting to a need. So just keep your focus on needs while you're observing. And you might even have a piece of paper in front of you and write them down to stay really present. And maybe a strategy of what you'd like to say might come up as well. And so you can write that down as well. And I find that to be incredibly powerful.
So, Joy, in just a moment we'll ask you to open the mediation. Wondering how you're feeling right now as you anticipate this, if you're needing any additional support before we start.
It's a little daunting, but I might actually face this at the coming Thanksgiving, so this is good.
Yeah.
We have a divided family on political issues, so this is going to be interesting.
Yeah,
we're going to Georgia not long after Thanksgiving to Jim's family, so I think
channeling. This is just support for me, so thank you for being willing to play this role, Joy.
And Joy, you don't need to know any details going in.
Right.
The more curiosity you have and the more interest in just being present with what's alive in them, the more clarity of your own intention there is.
I have a question about, you know, when it's in a family setting like this, I'm not a formal mediator, so I'm just trying to figure out how I might broach that.
Yeah, we're gonna ask the participants actually to play their role first.
Okay.
So Jim set it up, one person speaking and the other responding right away. So we'll start there.
And your job basically is to imagine this bubble of pain, and then whoever's lap it seems to land in, that's where I would start in terms of giving. In this particular case, I'm imagining that the mediation will begin with some emergency first aid empathy.
Yeah, and then your connection request will be what can slow it down, because it can start to speed up. It is already speeding up based on how Jim set it up. It's already speeding up, and it's your empathy and your connection request which can support slowing it down.
And you're going to start with some warning about this last political...
Okay. God, I can't believe this damn country. We're just going to end up being like Europe, and you know, it's going to be a bunch of socialists in a few minutes here. And you know, we just don't have any choice here. And I'm tired of this country. Now, you know, and I can't even believe that probably some of my family sitting right here at this table has voted for.
Well, just wait a minute. You wanted to put the country in Sarah Palin's hands? The woman that doesn't have any experience. I value women, but it takes more than form. We need content.
That woman could lead better than Obama any day. She had
You're not hearing what I said. We don't just need a woman. We need somebody with brains. I value women, but I need content.
She could stand up for what she believed in.
Hey, I'm wondering if you guys are really getting into it here, and I'm wondering if we could just slow down a little bit. And Anne, it sounds like you're really grieving about the outcome of the election, and you're feeling really upset about it.
Well, yeah, I mean, anybody in their right mind would know that this
I am in my right mind. Sorry to interrupt.
Well, and Raj, you're feeling upset, too, because you're experiencing that some people aren't real happy about what's happened, and I think you've been really happy.
I'm not so worried about other people not being happy. I think we've got to really see what the country needs, not just the person we're supporting.
So you really want to focus on what the needs are in our country right now.
This became identity politics rather than the country's needs.
What does that mean? I mean, goodness, this is craziness. I mean, you're talking like you're one of those elite liberals, you know?
Well, what I meant by that, maybe I should clarify and not use jargon so that you and I can really hear each other. It became about should a woman win or should a black man win?
Well, that's not how I saw McCain running his campaign. Maybe that's how Obama ran his campaign.
Oh, so now you're wondering if Obama brought the race thing up and Obama brought the feminine thing up. I'm worried when I hear that. You know, I really don't think that he was running to separate the country. He isn't black. He isn't white. He's a bit of both.
So you two really would like to argue, sounds like.
But the rest of us, I think, might be feeling a little uncomfortable right now. And so my effort here was to try to slow things down a little so that we can look at really kind of what's going on with your feelings right now and maybe have not so reactive an argument about it.
Well, the last thing I want to do is talk about justifying Obama's victory at Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah,
I'm hearing Anne, maybe Anne feeling like this is a place where she can be herself and say what she's really feeling about all of this, even though she knows that not everybody here agrees with her. But I'm hearing the courage, Anne, for you to bring this up here and wanting to be understood. Is that right?
Yeah, that's really it. You know, I feel like I finally come home, and I just really want to be able to say how I'm feeling. I mean, the rest of this country just seems crazy, and I don't have any place else to talk about this.
So you're really wanting us to hear you.
Yeah.
And to understand your feelings about how things are going right now.
Yeah, well, I just don't think people understand what's in store for us now. We've made some big mistakes here.
You want me to help you understand? Is that what you're asking for?
No. I'm just feeling really rotten about this. And it feels like we're going in the wrong direction. I'm really worried.
You'd really like me to hear that. And are you willing to hear how happy I feel about the choice?
Happy you are about what choice?
About Obama having won?
Well, you can say that if you want, but that's not what I'm wanting.
Okay, so you'd like me to really hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if, Raj, if it's okay with you, do you think you can hold on to your thoughts and feelings for a while so that we could listen to Anne, and then maybe we could all listen to your thoughts about what's going on and your feelings about what's happening?
I could do that, Joy. I've been holding on to them for 2 years, so a few minutes won't hurt.
Okay. Well, I really appreciate your willingness to do that, because it sounds like Anne's about ready to burst with what she wants to say, and so I really appreciate your being able to hold on. So, Anne, do you want to say some more about what you're feeling right now?
Well, yeah. Like I said, I'm really worried where this country's going and what it's going to mean for us. I don't think people understand what it means when the government takes over, when they decide that they're the ones that can fix everything. This is not good for the country, and it's not good for us. It's really scaring me.
And what would happen if the government took over from your point of view?
So, Joy, can I give you a little coaching here?
Sure, I'd love it.
Yeah, see if you can just stay with her pain a little bit. Just a real quick acknowledgement, something like, this is really scary for you. That might be a powerful question to ask.
Okay, so you're feeling really scared about what's happening.
And, yeah.
And you're needing to feel that our country's stable and secure, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, I don't want a government that's telling me what to do. I'm afraid that people aren't getting that this is going to go down a very dangerous path.
Mm-hmm. You really want to protect your freedom.
And you're wanting to protect your freedom and your autonomy as a citizen, it sounds like.
Exactly. You know, this is what the whole United States was founded on. That's exactly it.
So you're really worried that those needs aren't going to be met in the coming administration.
Yeah, you know, it's a slippery slope, and, you know, he's got a lot of charisma, but, you know, we could make some really bad decisions going forward with this. You know, it's hard to climb out of that. Then we're in this place where everybody's getting everything from the government. The government's telling everybody what they can and can't do.
So it's also your personal freedom, it sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. I want to be able to do what I want to do.
So now see if you can carry the need over to the other party. See if she's willing to reflect.
Raj, I'm wondering if you can hear what Anne is concerned about here.
Well, I think right now what I am sitting with, and I will reflect back the need, was 8 years of what we experienced not enough, and we wanted more of that. Okay, well, having said that, I'm now more able to reflect back the needs.
Okay.
you feel frustrated and worried about not being able to experience the freedom that living in America offers, having the autonomy to choose how to spend your money, where to spend your money, rather than have the government dictate to you. That's kind of what I got, because I was very stirred up about what I was hearing.
And Anne, is Raj understanding you?
Yeah, I think she's got it. Yeah.
Okay, and
is it going to be my turn sometime soon?
Yes, and I was just going to ask Anne if she'd be willing to listen to you now, and or if there's anything else she absolutely needs to say right now, or if she's willing to. We'll come back to you, Anne, if you're willing to hear what Raj has to say.
Yeah, I can listen for a little bit.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Raj, could you tell us what you're thinking right now about what's happened?
Right now, when I hear about Obama and the election and where the country is going, I'm worried, and I feel the pain of the war, the two wars that have been so costly for the U.S. And when I hear a man who wants to bring an end to all of that, I connect with the hope that he offers. I connect with what is possible. And having been a part of a military family myself, I know wars change lives forever. And I just can't imagine anybody not wanting a peaceful way of living. So I don't understand what Anne's asking for when she says socialism is not about money. And well, that's all I'm going to say. I just feel really upset right now.
You're really concerned that the war in Iraq and Afghanistan come to an end as soon as possible, and it
was all started on false pretenses about, you know, there was no weapons of mass destruction. There was all of that. Like, how can anybody possibly think that that could be trusted again for another 4 years?
Joy, I'm going to interrupt you. Just push pause. That works for you. You're on a roll here, but I'd like to ask everybody to write down the need or needs that you thought that you just heard Raj express. What's underneath the strategy? And I'd like to actually do a round, and then we're going to shift mediators after I just connect with you, Joy, at the very end here about how you're doing. The request is that everyone write down the need that you thought you just heard Raj express, and we'll do a round, so you'll just be saying one or two words. Then we'll check in with Joy, and then Chris will choose which need to connect with Raj with and carry on from here. So, Joy, do you have a guess about the need?
I'd say peace.
Peace, okay. Okay, Susan, and then Barbara.
I'd say safety, harmony, peace.
Yeah. Barbara.
I wrote down peace.
Jeff.
I heard peace.
Tom, then Erica.
Peace.
Yeah. Lori, then Louise.
Just wanting to be heard.
Yeah, yeah. And Joy, how are you feeling right now in this part of the mediation? How are you doing?
I'm actually feeling comfortable. At first, I was very nervous because I couldn't seem to break in. And it reminded me of the times when I was a teacher when there was a fight going on in the hall, and I didn't know how to break it up. Things finally slowed down, and once it slowed down, I felt very comfortable and not feeling totally competent, but willing to go with whatever skills I have. They were pretty responsive, so that helped in spite of their upset. I would just like to practice a lot more.
Okay, thank you, Joy. And does it work for you that we switch mediators now to Chris?
Yes.
Chris, while you connect with starting, I'm just going to say to Anne and Raj, at some point during this mediation with Chris, you might ratchet it up a little bit, too. You might get triggered a little bit.
Yes, so he has a chance to practice the bubble of pain exercise as well, if it seems authentic for you. So, Chris, whenever you're ready, you can go with where you sense the bubble of pain is. I'd suggest maybe connecting with Raj's need. Whenever you're ready, you can go.
Raj, I'm really wanting to connect with some of the things that you brought up. I heard such a strong want for peace and harmony and hope and possibility and trust. You so want there to be trust with the government. Am I accurate? Is that right?
Yeah, I would love to be able to trust that the new leadership is going to bring safety and harmony and have a country live peacefully. Thank you. I really appreciate being heard in that way.
Yeah, thanks for that feedback. I'm just wanting to sit for a moment with with those needs that you brought up. And
I just wish that Anne would understand that that's what I'm going for, rather than who's the leader, whether he's Obama or socialist or whatever. And I'm hearing you, but I'm not able to hear Anne.
Yeah, you're really wanting some understanding that this issue is far broader than about identities or specific political ideas. Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, it's not about one person or the other. It's what our country needs. It's about really going there. So it's not that I want to argue with Anne. I just want her to know that this is what's driving my intensity of energy, and I just want to be heard for that.
Yeah, I just really want to be understood and heard. Raj, I so appreciated that moment where you heard Anne and the needs that she'd spoken about, that those needs for safety and autonomy. And I'm wondering, Anne, if you'd be willing to hear some of the needs that Raj has spoke about, and I'll just repeat them. Peace and harmony, hope, possibility. Perhaps we could start with those. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to let Raj know that you've heard those.
I hear that she wants peace and harmony and some hope, but you know, it's just not going to happen with this guy. I mean, the person who's got more experience with this sort of stuff, especially around military issues, is definitely, I'm just hopeless about it, actually, myself.
Yeah, so when you listen to what Raj has to say, you're hearing those needs for peace, harmony, and hope, but it also triggers some frustration, and you talked about that before, some fear. You're so wanting to have that sense of safety.
Yeah, and McCain's the one I trust. He's the one that's going to be able to say, he's the one that already proven that they needed the surge, and they needed to do the things that they're doing, and that's what's making it work, and pulling out is not the way it's going to happen. That's going to make things worse, not better.
And you were willing to trust Sarah Palin a heartbeat away from the president?
Oh, Raj, I'm going to interrupt here.
I don't know. How could you have me interrupt when she just said that she trusts McCain and he's 72 years old?
I'm hearing how triggered you are by that comment. And I guess my question for you is just so wanting for us to have a connection here at Thanksgiving. There's an opportunity I'm sensing for us to connect behind with the needs behind what's being said. And I just, as I watch you both move back into the specific discussion about who's right and who's wrong and who should have won, I'm sensing we're not moving in that direction. And Raj, I'm wondering, when you hear me say that, what comes up for you?
I came here to have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Yeah, I would enjoy a connection.
Mm-hmm. And how about you when I said that?
You know, I think connection is great at Thanksgiving, but, you know, the reality and the bigger problem here really is about what's going to happen with our financial system and our government in this war. And, you know, it's a bigger issue. I'm not sure that Raj and I are going to make any sort of connection this weekend anyway, so I don't know. Maybe I'll just sit at the other end of the table.
Yeah, just before you do that, I'm just wanting to hold some space for that, because I heard a real concern about or whether or not you and Raj can connect. Is there a place where you can both meet with having such different political ideas? Is that right?
Exactly. I think it's just time for me to shut up.
Yeah, you're feeling like a sense of hopelessness around this right now. Is that right?
Absolutely. She's not hearing me. She's not understanding anything I'm saying.
You know, when I hear that she's not hearing me, I feel really worried, because I'm not sure that she's heard any of what I've said and any of the pain that I feel around the economy.
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing from you, Raj. It's a sense of hopelessness. And I'm also hearing from both of you is a sense of wanting to connect. Is that right, Anne?
Well, Anne said she doesn't worry about the connecting to sit at the other end of the table, so...
You know, I'm willing to have a little bit of discomfort, you know, to say that this is really important to me, you know?
Yeah, it's so important for you to be able to voice your political opinions, even if they're different from other people's. You really want some understanding around that, yeah?
Yes, that's it. Exactly.
Would it be okay for you if you just keep talking and I don't say anything and read the paper?
No, I just would like some respect. You know, we have differences of opinions, and that's part of this country. That's who we are as people.
Raj, I'm just going to jump in for a moment here. I'm noticing that the conversation is getting escalated again, and I just also wanted to acknowledge about how easy that can be with political ideas. And I'm just hoping in this moment that to check in with you, see if you're willing to reflect what Anne said about really wanting some respect and understanding for her political views. Would you be willing to just reflect those needs?
It's always about Anne. Okay, what does she want? She wants respect. She wants to voice her opinions. She wants me to sit there and listen to her and respectfully respond when I think it's going to come from a respectful place.
Okay, so yeah, I'm hearing some frustration, Raj, that it's really difficult to hear and speak about those things, that respect and some understanding, and I just want to check in with you for that moment. There's some frustration there, and I would like to move back to hear from you in a moment, but before I do that, would you be willing just to repeat those two needs, the respect and understanding?
Anne would enjoy understanding in a respectful way how difficult this whole drama has been for her.
Oh, thanks so much, Raj. I'm just going to step into Chris's role. Did I miss something in how that was said? I took it as being genuine, but I heard people laughing. So if it wasn't genuine, Raj, can you repeat that in your role?
In this moment, this is the most authenticity I can bring to this.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if you could repeat those two needs again, Raj. I'm noticing that I didn't hear properly. I need some understanding for that. Would you be willing to repeat those again, that respect and understanding?
So, Chris, you are wanting me to listen to Anne and understand in a respectful way how she is experiencing the outcome of this election.
Yeah, those are the needs that I heard Anne express. And yeah, when I hear you say that, it does. It meets my needs for connection, too, because I'm just so wanting for us to have some space around having different political views as a family and to connect here. So yeah, thanks, Raj, for saying that. And I'm wanting to check in with you in this moment, hearing Raj reflect those needs and what I've said. What's going on for you?
Well, I'm actually surprised. You know, just to hear Raj say that she's interested in hearing about my stuff respectfully that's a big deal to me. That's a big deal to me. I just don't feel like I have that space in this family to be able to be where I'm at.
Yeah, so I'm hearing that surprise, and I'm just wondering, when you imagine and when you sit with that, with this acknowledgement that there might be this type of space to just be yourself and really share what's going on for you, even with diverse views, what does that feel like?
Well, it's kind of a relief, actually, and I don't know, I can trust it completely, but I'm sure glad that it's there right now.
Yeah, like a relief, like I can just hang out with my family and be me.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, so Raj, I'm wanting to check in with you if you'd be willing to reflect what you heard from Anne.
Anne talked about trust. You know, that's what I'm wanting too, is I'm wanting to be able to trust that the people we're electing will bring us peace. And same thing as Anne, is wanting to trust that she has space in this family to talk about stuff.
Yeah, you're wanting the very same thing, and in this moment you're not feeling that yet too. And so Anne, before I get Raj to reflect, I'd actually like to just see if you'd be willing to shift and reflect back to Raj that she's looking for that same sense of trust and space to be understood for who she is and her views. Would you be willing to do that?
Well, yeah. I see that she's really wanting to have space for her views too, but I just don't understand her the way she talks about trust, the way I'm talking about trust.
Yeah, there's some concern that the definition that you both have for trust is maybe not two definitions that can be connected. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not sure that we're on the same page with that.
So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about...
Excuse me one second, Chris. I'm going to interrupt here and see if we can involve everybody else, including you. At this place in the mediation, if you're the co-mediator... we're going to just push pause and write down what you think you might say next as a mediator, and we'll do another round. So we'll take 30 seconds of silence while you connect with what you might say next, which direction you might go. There's no right way and no wrong way here. Just what you might do. Okay, so let's do a round and hear what people might say next.
I like the direction that Chris was going in, so I probably would have picked up in a similar vein, I like the level of kind of strength and decisiveness. So I would continue with that, you know, reflecting the needs of the last person who spoke, and then really short batches back and forth, you know, quick first aid empathy when necessary. But it seems like there was a need for some kind of strength and decisiveness on the side of the on the part of the mediator. So I would continue with that until the parties kind of softened and it got a little bit easier and a little more open.
And what specifically would you say next if you were the mediator now? What might be the next thing that comes out of your mouth?
Well, Jim, I don't remember what the last person said, the last disputant said. So I would connect with their needs. I don't remember exactly what.
Okay, that's good. Thanks. That helps. Just that the next thing you would do would be to connect with their needs and reflect their needs back. Thank you. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Go to Barbara next.
What's coming to mind is working on the acceptance of each other's positions and respecting each other's positions as versus staying with the trust in government and, you know, kind of that out there stuff.
So your intuition is to stay with, like what Anne revealed, a bit that was a little bit closer than the bone, closer to the bone, and not so much focus on Raj's trust in the government issue. Is that right?
Correct, yeah.
The next thing you might do is stay with Anne's needs around acceptance and family, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks. Susan?
I think I would try and stay with the need, try and connect with the need for the trust and also for that both of them want to be heard and understood.
Sounds like you would stay connected to Raj's need and reflect that next. And also I'm hearing that you might say a little bit about the common ground you're hearing between both parties.
Mm-hmm. And also throw in the emergency empathy. Throw in a lot of empathy that both of them are being heard.
Yeah, thanks. Did I miss anybody else that would like to make an offering here of what you might say or do next?
I was thinking that Anne just said that she didn't think that what she meant by trust or what Raj meant by trust was the same as what she thought. And so I might pick up on that. I think I might say something like, it sounds like you're both wanting to be understood and trusted, but you aren't sure that you see each other's, see or experience trust the same. And I'm wondering if each of you would like, be willing to explore what that would look like for you. What would it look like if the other person understood and trusted you?
Okay. Interesting idea. I like that. Did I miss anybody else before we go back to Chris?
Can I throw something else in?
Yes, please.
I just thought to ask each of them, what would it feel like to be trusted? What would you feel like? Yeah, and go with that, too.
Okay. Jory has something to offer.
Yeah, I was aware, and I don't remember who it was, but at one point, Chris asked one of them to reflect the other's need. I did not hear that continuity, so I would go back to that place of making sure that the need that was requested was reflected to be able to actually build the quality of trust in the conversation for the person who had spoken and hadn't been reflected yet.
This is Barbara. One question?
Sure.
I guess with the trust issue, it's a little murky for me as to, I was hearing it as the government, and I'm wondering if we need to keep that. I mean, as I heard the needs raised, it was around the government and not around relationship between them. It's murky for me, and I'm wondering if other people are hearing that, and if that's the case, if we need to be clearer about that.
So you're seeing some value in keeping the focus on something bigger than personalities.
I'm just confused because I heard the need of trust identified, but I heard it identified with regards to government issues, but now I'm also hearing it kind of brought down to the personal issues, and so that's confusing to me because I didn't see the trust as an issue between in the interpersonal relationship. I saw that as a government, and so I'm just wondering if there's, you know, more clarity needed around the need of trust and if we need to be careful about what needs are being applied to what issues.
Would you like to hear my feedback on that?
Yes, thank you.
If the need is trust in that moment, I go to the need without attaching it to anything. It's not about the government. It's not about what's going on between us. I am wanting people to connect to their own wholeness, and the need is where that wholeness and that sort of reservoir of life is. Trust is, for me, often very foggy, and I also want to get beneath trust. So trust what? That you'll be safe? Ah, the need of safety. So that's what comes up for me around it.
This is Raj. As the disputant, I was seeing that if we talked about trust, that could build a bridge between the two of us. That's my perspective from where I was seeing it, is that that would bring us to the common, a point of connection.
That was my intuition as well, Raj, that if we stayed with you and stayed with your need for trust, even though you were talking about it at this kind of abstract level, if we stayed with you in empathy, that we would get to a similar deep place of what's underneath that trust for you.
So you're pointing out that it's the need where that resonance happens. And when that resonance happens, we start to open. Thank you.
You know, what I sensed was that we had a different understanding of the need trust. However, that could connect us to a deeper place of what does trust bring to our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, that for each of you, there was a need underneath that trust that may have been different.
Yes.
And so letting even go of the need for trust at the moment where we get deeper can support connection. We don't need to just stay with trust because they both have trust. Really, we're also creating connection in the face of diversity, and that different things in this moment are really important to each of us, but we can experience that wholeness, that safety without freedom isn't very fulfilling. Freedom without safety isn't either. And I'm just picking two out of a hat because we're talking about this particular piece.
Curious to go to Chris to see how you're doing right now, how you're feeling, and what's alive in you, and what you might say next if the mediation were to continue.
I'm feeling content with the direction things are going. I noticed that there was a shift a few minutes before we stopped where Anne said that she felt relief. So I was excited to hear that, and then, but at the same time, I acknowledged that that triggered some stuff for Raj, that she's really wanting that trust. Yeah, I'm really trusting in the process and feeling excited about continuing with it.
Thanks. I'd like to go to Anne next, and then back to Raj. Anne, what do you sense might most meet your needs if the mediation were to continue now? What could the mediator say or do that might contribute to your own connection?
I was really not consciously aware until I listened to the discussion, but unconsciously aware of how much Raj's interruptions were affecting me, that I now have kind of gone to a different level for myself in exposing that I'm wanting acceptance in the family and some acceptance in just exposing that, that I now really want the focus to be on Raj and that her coming back and coming back and coming back, that emergency empathy only worked a few times, and then it really needs, the bubble of pain really needed to shift to her, or had shifted to her. I really wanted to give her more space and time in that setting. So, does that answer your question?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, very fully.
Very rich. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
And Raj, for you, what are you sensing that would have supported you to have heard from a mediator at that moment?
I'm actually really appreciating what Anne just said, because intuitively my sense was it wasn't when I heard Anne say, I want time in the family to talk about things, then I knew that it wasn't so much about the election. So I'm really pleased that came up for me, and I wanted to blurt that out, and I didn't. That wasn't the intent. But, I wanted acceptance that you could articulate your needs and express in a way that you'd be heard. That was more important than what we were discussing. So connecting with Anne rather than playing the disputant would have served a different purpose. As I'm saying that, I realize that sometimes if I connect with the person's needs and let go of my own strategies, we can reach a different place.
Yeah, so I'm hearing that really supports your own growth and how you would like to be with people when you personally are involved in that conflict. And I'm wondering, as you connect back into the role that you were in, What is it you think you could have heard from Anne or the mediator that might have supported you most from the space you were in fairly triggered?
When I started off the dispute, my sense was that Anne was being more heard than I was. And that might have been where I was in that place. And that was painful for me. What would have been helpful for is that if I sensed that there was a mutuality in the connection, that both sides were being connected. And I just want to check with Joy, if you were drawn to, Joy, if you're willing to share, if you were drawn to connecting with Anne in that moment because of what she was sharing.
That's a hard one. At that point, I heard the pain when you interrupted her. I guess that's why I had asked if you were willing to wait a moment until she finished. And maybe I didn't know how to give you emergency.
Okay, yeah.
Empathy that quickly, you know. It seemed like your need was so huge, I didn't know how to give you empathy that would do anything at that point.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And one of the things I'm hearing from you, Raj, is what really, there was a need for balance for you, even at the point where we stopped. As much as your heart was opening, you still didn't have a sense that you had been heard in a balanced way yet.
Yeah, I guess the word balance would be how I would describe that. I would have liked a balance of, but not just participation, but a balance of being heard. And it magnifies when a person is in pain.
This is a really important part of understanding what's going on inside of people. As resources diminish, in this particular case, maybe the resource is balance. As resources diminish, our range of tolerance tends to shrink. And that's why we are training ourselves to attend to the bubble of pain in order to keep people involved in the dispute as resourceful as possible.
If Raj can remember what she said at that point, if you could model how to give that instant empathy in that situation.
Happy to. What I think it was a moment when you were listening to Anne and Raj said something like about me or it's about her or something like that.
Taking the attention off Anne and wanting it on me because my pain got stirred.
Yeah, do you remember one of those things you said, Raj, and then I can respond?
Well, it's just something about, yeah, it's always about her having her say. It's so important that I have my side, too.
You're really wanting some balance, too, and you want to trust that you'll have an opportunity to speak as well. Is that it?
That would have been helpful, yeah.
Yeah. So, and if you'd be willing that we can finish over here, I'd like to give you that full attention, make sure we hear you that fully as well. Would you be willing to listen now?
Having gotten that reassurance, I can listen.
Thank you. So that would be a model. The structure of it is empathy and then the request to listen. And then she might have said yes or no. And some reassurance. I notice that, yeah, that's often a piece for me. So it's empathy, reassurance, request.
And specifically, the reassurance is that I, as mediator, am willing to continue to drive this process. And I want to reassure you that in the least number of words, and maybe with no words, that I care about your needs and we'll get back to you.
Jim, that was the key piece, is for me to get a sense that the mediator cares about my needs too.
Yeah, this is what really supports the process, is as the mediator conveys through empathy and through emergency first aid empathy that everybody's needs have equivalence, equal value.
Could I ask a question of Raj? Raj, did you not feel that I cared equally about you?
Oh, I think I sense you cared equally about both of us, but there was a point when I thought that maybe your thoughts were more with Anne than they were with me.
Actually, it was the opposite, and I was afraid that I was going to not give Anne enough because I disagreed with her so strongly.
Uh-huh. You were leaning your balance out of the attempt to have balance, and it's just interesting to watch. The need is for balance, and we do the best we can, and we're human in that process.
That's a danger when you're in a conflict, and, you know, internally you really do side with one over the other. How do you stay balanced, and how do you keep from overcompensating? Or
Well, yeah, so what would happen for me, if I noticed, I had a thought, like Anne is some kind of McCainite idiot, let's just say that that's the thought that comes up, the first thing that I want to do before I open my mouth again is to give myself some emergency first aid empathy for my own jackals that have just arisen. And the first step in that is to give myself permission to think this thought that I just had, and then to connect it to my own need. So, you know, my need might be for a sense of openness. Okay, so that really helps me to give myself permission that I'm human and I have a need for openness. Now I can extend my acceptance to Anne. Okay, so what's her need? Okay, so she's scared. She has a need for safety. I can give her permission as a fellow human being on the planet that she has a need for safety too. Okay, all right, I get that. Now let me see if I can recharge my gratitude battery. By just thinking, you know, here I'm at the Thanksgiving table and I see this delicious meal that has been provided to me and how much my need for support and nutrition is being met. And now I've given myself sufficient empathy to be able to attend to Anne without the enemy image. So that's the other place that emergency first aid empathy comes into play, is sometimes the bubble of pain lands in my lap.
This is Raj. Joy, that was so helpful for me to hear because I had no idea. My thoughts were that you agree more with Anne, that's why you're leaning more towards her. And you were holding the intention that, oh, yeah, I can connect with Raj. That's not too hard. This is the hard one for me to go to.
And if we were actually in the same family, you would have known that about me?
Yeah, that's right.
You might have been more patient seeing what I was trying to do. But we weren't in that situation, so.
I'm grateful for what I'm hearing. Thank you.
It was a struggle.
This is an interesting place that mediators find themselves, and it really points to two things here. One is how we manage our own needs, where our focus is in terms of whether our focus is on our own need or their need, and to be able to put ours aside to focus back on them. So that's one piece of managing our own needs in the midst of it, including when we are buying in one way or the other. And then the other piece is to realize that even if you are not buying in, even if you're not juggling this particular piece, a disputant may start to think that you are siding with one person or the other because we get empathy confused with agreement. So we may actually be dealing with that.
They might even get accused.
Right.
It certainly happened to me. You know, one party says to me, it's obvious that you care more about them than you. Do you agree with them or something? And I'm training myself to see that that's a cry for emergency first aid empathy. It means nothing about me.
Yeah. To be able to empathize with a cry of pain that sounds like a question is still an edge for me.
We're moving into the time that we have set aside to check out, but I want to, before we do that, to hear from Anne and Raj, and just any final thoughts you have before you let go of your role, and then release you from the role. I'm very grateful for your willingness to participate in this way and wondering if there's anything you need to feel complete with the role before you let it go, starting with Raj and then going to Anne.
I'd like to just really say I'm grateful for this conversation, and I had a lot of energy around it, and I want to check in with Anne if at any point you felt I was hearing you.
Yeah, I did. Yes, I did. I'll leave it at that.
Okay, and I'm complete.
Anne, is there anything you would like to say to be able to release this and to anchor back into your role as participant in a training?
Just wanting to tell my truth that I did not vote for McCain. It was really funny that I just feel this urgency to tell everybody that. Also very grateful for, Raj, your authenticity and bringing it back. It felt very real. I also wanted to say to Joy that I really enjoyed how she interrupted Raj and I's bickering back and forth at the beginning by saying she was really uncomfortable and just speaking her truth about how it was uncomfortable for everybody else. And for me, especially in a family setting, if somebody's going to jump in and take the mediator role, and I didn't really push either of them on this, but I'd be like, that's your work, you know, this is Thanksgiving dinner. So I really just appreciated her authenticity in that, even though it might have felt like
I don't know how to interrupt this. It really felt very real, and I really connected and wanted to engage with her around that. Is that clear?
For me, it was really quite clear. I caught two things that you said. I want to highlight them both because I heard them as very powerful points. One is how much identity gets wrapped up into what we're saying and what we're doing, how important identity is. You know, that's why we say, okay, shake it off now and, you know, come back into yourself with appreciation that you've taken on another identity. And then the second piece that I heard, which I now forgot.
Oh, I think I know what it was. It was what I really enjoyed about Joy kind of appreciating and empathizing with the whole system.
Yeah.
That there was an expression of empathy for how uncomfortable she felt and then extending that empathy to the rest of the table.
Yeah, and the other piece that I had heard was the point about how important in the beginning a little bit of honesty can be so that there's a quality of trust in the person who's sticking their neck out, that their intention really is around some need that you can embrace. Thank you.
Does that complete you, Anne?
I really wanted to give some appreciation for not only Chris's ability to just really quickly guess my needs. I felt very heard very quickly. It was a lot of ease around that. But also when he spoke with Raj at one point and said, I really appreciated, Raj, how you were able to hear Anne's need. And he said this right after Raj put out her needs, and then it was a segue for him to go over and see if Anne would be willing to do the same thing. It framed it for me as reminding me that, yes, there's trust in this system, and there's going to be balance here, and I'm now asking if you're willing to do that too, Anne. And so I liked that technique. It was really supportive.
Thanks, Anne. I wanted to mention a little bit about Chris that I really felt connected with Chris's mediation as well. And the point I would have liked is that what is your understanding of trust, or what does it mean to you? When I heard the word definition, Chris, that was like, oh, God, I got to define trust. What does that mean to me? So that's that point I lost my connection with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you both for sharing what being in the role was. Again, I'm grateful for your willingness to play that and encourage you now to just let it go and get back to being Raj and Anne.
Quickly, I'd like to offer the practice of the week. There are two practices. One is to practice emergency first aid empathy, or even just notice when you see that it might be needed, that someone is getting really, the bubble of pain is clearly somewhere. So you're watching the bubble of pain and you might be willing to practice. The other part of the practice for the week is to notice whether you're coming from I or you. So really to become more aware of empathy or honesty, to just notice where you're coming from. One of the pieces that I noticed in the mediation was when things got really hot with emergency first aid empathy and there was an I statement that came in, there was now two people in pain trying to connect to each other, and then all of a sudden it was also the mediator's needs. And so people actually said, no, I think we'll just separate now. It just became too big. Just notice whether we're coming in with empathy when there's a lot of pain or honesty. There's room for both, but it's a dance. That's the homework, and we'd like to move into a checkout.
And my request to hear from everybody is, what's your takeaway from our time together today? What are you harvesting as something that you think met your needs?
Jory, what you said about honesty and empathy, yeah, I noticed that too. Thanks for clarifying what might have been the cause of Anne's wanting to move apart. Yeah, it's really getting me to check in with myself around what usefulness there might be about being honest and what risks might be there. So I have to do some backtracking. And then also, Raj, about your comment about trust, that it was a pretty broad request and to be much more specific. And then just to get back to the essence of the model, observations, feelings, needs, and requests. So I'm complete.
Thank you, Chris.
Well, I honestly was very impressed with Chris's mediation. I kind of wished he'd gone first because he was a good model. I felt like I was kind of stumbling, but that was a good experience to stumble, to, you know, to learn by doing. And I really appreciated how smoothly he was able to go from one to the other and to do the reflection piece. And I think that's something I still need to work on. I'm having a hard time choosing one thing that I'm taking away. It's just, it's the whole process. I'm learning the whole process that I'm taking away, and I'm in the middle of learning that process. So, and I'm appreciating this so much. Thank you both, Jim and Jory, for presenting this to us and giving us chances to practice.
Thank you.
I'm really grateful and very appreciative to the people who played the mediators and also the disputants. You put yourself so emotionally, it seemed, into the parts that I felt like I learned a lot just listening in, also trying to put myself in the mediator role. Okay, what would I think about and what would I say next? Gave me a bit more space to do that, being an observer. And also, yeah, there was so much, all the different parts, how interruptions were made. It seemed very smoothly, also getting to the needs and building that bridge. I thought it was a good point when Jim interrupted and said, okay, where would you go with this? When it came up with the trust issue, where different people would go, how they would proceed with the mediation. And my focus, I was focusing on that bubble of pain. Where was the pain? Getting into the first aid, empathy, and tracking back. So I felt I learned a lot this week.
One interesting piece that I'm taking away is when Raj brought up the sense of imbalance, and she and Ann discussed that, and that I thought it was interesting that, you know, there was kind of an overcompensating thing that Ann was doing that actually kind of turned the whole balance around. So that I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the session today. I just loved how we got into some higher energy. And I guess what I am taking away, it seems that when the disputants are highly activated the way they were today and there's a lot of interrupting, it just seems to me that it's so important that the mediator kind of bring a higher energy as well, in a sense of interrupting and with really kind of short connections with the needs, just sort of a lot of precision, a lot of focus, and a willingness to sort of step in and sort of take the process back. So I really noticed that with Chris, and I thought it worked really well. I enjoyed it.
The main thing that I'm taking away is how empathy and connection requests can slow down a heated conversation. I'm eager to give that one a try with my kids. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think what I'm taking away is the thing I recognize that how much strength I have in being vulnerable. When I allowed myself in that role to be more vulnerable, I felt like I had the power in it in that situation. It was really interesting. And I'm also really curious about the awareness you brought up, Jory, about the honesty versus empathy. Am I coming from I or am I coming from you? That's definitely a growing edge for me.
For me, tracking the bubble of pain, and I appreciated what you said, Jim, that sometimes that bubble of pain may end up with the mediator, and how to really pull it together through self-empathy, another place to really focus on.
Okay. Jory?
I really enjoyed listening to the mediators and just see so much movement from the beginning. You know, the growing edge, it's a natural growing edge, you know, that we're all going through. And I appreciated the quality of connection, your own sense of connection and then the connection between the others. Also appreciated those places that where you were on your edge a little, where there are places to grow, because we're all in that, and to also offer that to other people so they can grow with you.
Thank you, Jory. And I'm feeling very satisfied with the call, really celebrating the growth and the learning that I'm observing through your participation. Very grateful that we had a couple folks willing to try mediating today. I know it's a scary thing. And really deeply appreciative of the role players as well. It really contributed a lot to our learning. I love the authenticity.
Thank you all for being here.